Welcome to another episode of The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors, a clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. Get in with a count of four. Ladies and gentlemen, a very exciting day. We have Mr. Wright in the clearing. I've been looking for Mr. Wright the entire podcast series, obviously. And yes, a bit like Waiting for Godot, he's actually turned up. This is the wonderful, prolific pants actor, versatility personified. Please welcome Stuart Wright to the Good Listening To Show Clearing.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, Chris. Well, and hello to everyone listening.
You're very welcome and very optimistic. I like that. So quick question as we get you on the open road of the Good Listening To Show. As we know, it's all going to take place energetically in the clearing. That is where all good questions come to get asked. And all good questions, well, I've said that bit, and all good stories come to get told. So we're going to bounce you along the storytelling metaphors and then spit you out 45 minutes later, hopefully having had a good listening to. So Stuart Wright, how's morale? Building work notwithstanding, what's your story of the day, please?
How's morale? Well, we're about, what is it, 4 or 5 weeks into the summer holidays. We've sort of, we've broken the back of the summer holidays. I've got a 7 and a 5-year-old, but there's still a few weeks to go. And we're just sort of starting to creak a little bit. I've got increasing sort of work pressures, need my focus on work, and the kids can sense that. They also know I'm going to be going away a bit for a period of time for work, and that's kind of wobbled them a bit. So not plain sailing anyway.
That's a very good sort of life is a wicked mess, complex disposition of how this stuff ain't easy, juggling everything that we juggle in order to make sense of our world. And not just in the acting profession, of course, that's humanity and the human condition. I love that. And also you are really on a bit of a roll at the moment. I've really, really enjoyed researching you, which is why I've called you Mr. Prolific Pants. We bumped into each other again recently while I was playing tennis, and you had a party function happening with a band called the Zuzu Men in the park. I didn't know about the Zuzu Men at the time, but it was such a good series of tunages going on. Stan and I in the tennis court started playing air guitar rather than playing tennis on our tennis court. And then I thought, I must find out what's going on and who that band are. And then lo and behold, Stu McLaughlin was there. Obviously, he's part of Living Spit, who I've also had on the podcast. But it was your event, because it's your wife's event, was it not?
Yeah, exactly. Her birthday fell on a bank holiday Monday. And I don't know, after the whole pandemic experience of, you know, we just sort of emotionally wanted to celebrate, gather some friends together. Everyone's used to being outdoors. So we got a TENS notice from the council to have a band in the park. And
Well, that's good information. A TENS notice.
Temporary event notice.
A TEMS notice. I get that. Lovely.
Ten. Not and TEMS.
You're an actor and you've got lovely diction, dear, if I may say so. So I mentioned you're prolific. You're about to start. You're going to the West End very shortly as one of many things that's going on, to be an upstart crow, which I know is with starring David Mitchell. You're going to be the actor Richard Burbage, which is, I know, from Shakespeare's Lord Chamberlain Company. Do you want to talk about that first?
Yeah. I did a couple of auditions last year for director Sean Foley, who I actually worked with as he was an actor. I don't know if he still acts, but he's mainly a director these days. But when he was in his acting days, we did a sitcom together years and years ago, you know, a couple of moaning actors or whatever. We had some fun. And now he's gone on to be a director. I did a couple of auditions for him last year for a show that he was originally in, the play What I Wrote.
Yes.
directed by Kenneth Branagh, that sort of, I guess, maybe made his name. It was in the West End. They won awards. They were redoing it. That. Go on.
It was The Right Size. I remember seeing it.
Yes. Oh, okay. Great.
I remember seeing it in the tenure of Toby Jones being the sort of one in the middle.
Yes. No, I saw it then too. It was just after we'd done this work together. He then has gone on to do a lot of West End directing, comedy directing.
Yeah.
He's now running the Birmingham Rep. So he was redoing that play. I had a couple of auditions, didn't get the job. And then they called me in for this and I got it. So, yeah, we start on September the 5th, start rehearsals up in Tottenham Court Road. And the show opens 3 weeks later. They've done it before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then it got closed down early. So they're coming back.
And of the mix of stuff, there's also a feature film you've been in, which is, I hope you're going to be speaking about, which is Jungle Cry. And you've become an ambassador for Jungle Crows. There's going to be lots of opportunity for you to talk explicitly about what you're currently up to. But it's just going to be very, very exciting. You also sent me the most fantastic photograph of you being the cross-dressing plumber called Davina Delish that I think is coming up in Midsummer Murder. So it's all to play for. You've got it all going on.
It's all
on.
To play for, Chris. Yeah, it's all to play for.
So hopefully we've hooked people. This is a man with lots going on and a wonderfully juicy story to tell. Because the sort of bonding factor in everyone that I like to speak to is you're a creative individual with an interesting story to tell. And I'm very, very much looking forward to curating you through the journey of the Good Listening To show. And brother, just before I get onto that, you've had your own podcast, which I think has a very witty premise, which is called Of Spice and Men. And that's three of you and your mates going for a curry once a month to talk about life, trials, tribulations. And I think you had a recovery, a nervous breakdown and a gambling habit in common. It's just three things to talk about.
Yeah, we did six episodes of that. We did one a month. We've sort of put it on pause for the time being, you know, not saying there wouldn't be a Christmas special or I don't know what, but learned a lot about podcasting and really enjoyed it. And we're still going out for curries, but just not recording our conversations anymore.
Sure thing. Wonderful. So let's get you going on the open road then. So you'll see that I've got quite an enigmatic backdrop, which just gives a bit of entertainment to sort of help you as I narrate through the journey of this. So there's a cheeky bit of Shakespeare in there. There's some storytelling apples. Here it comes. So thank you for preparing what you've had to prepare. And hopefully it wasn't painful. The clearing, first of all, which is where it all energetically takes place, which is a serious happy place of your choosing, Stuart Wright. Where does actor Stuart Wright go to get clutter-free, inspirational and able to think?
Well, I don't know if I've given the right answer to this, but I've chosen a place that I felt those things when I was 19 while traveling in India. So it's the top of a bus, one of these big buses that can travel people around. And I was sat on the top of it, which was the sort of fun thing to do when you were that age. You can climb out of a window, sit on the top. And this bus was taking us all from the lowlands of India up to Kathmandu in Nepal with lovely views and a sort of carefree spirit, I suppose, at that age.
So you think 19 as being your sort of halcyon days, which is partly what this is about. So that's a lovely image to conjure.
Yeah, are you happy with that? I suppose it's not a current thing. I don't know, apart from nature, which obviously that relates to.
Yes.
Being amongst, you know, huge mountain range. I suppose nature would be my happy place where I would go in terms of today.
And atop a bus towards Kathmandu, I'm thinking of a dusty bus. I've got some sort of burnt orange, yellow, sort of rusty colouring going on. It's really evoking what you've said.
Yeah, you've got it. And I suppose I was chatting to my wife about it last night when I sort of went through this. And I suppose it's also that time of my life, which was, you know, a young adult making my own decisions away from, you know, where I'd grown up and out experiencing the world on my own terms.
Very, very lovely and juicy, if I may say so, and relatable as well. That's delicious. So if we may, then I want to be aboard that bus, because that sounds fantastic. The halcyon days of being 19, the beginning of everything, anything is possible. I'm now going to extra clutter your probably no doubt packed bus rooftop. I'm going to arrive with a tree now. And we're going to shake your tree to see which storytelling apples fall out. And this is the lovely, juicy storytelling apples of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, where you've had 5 minutes. And I'm grateful you were thinking about it closely last night as well. Mm. To have thought about 4 things that have shaped you, 3 things that inspire you, 2 things that never fail to grab your attention. And this is the borrowed from the film Up. Oh, squirrels at the moment. You know, what never fails to distract you, whatever else is going on in your life. And then a quirky or unusual fact about you, actor Stuart Wright, we couldn't possibly know until you tell us. So over to you to shake the canopy atop your bus to Kathmandu, as you'd like to interpret that.
Well, the 4 things that have shaped me, I've got jotted down here. I've got my first one that sort of felt unavoidable was my parents separating in my early childhood. And that's not obviously one specific event, but it's a kind of event that, you know, had a big impact over my young childhood and probably, you know, still rumbles on, you know, to some degree. And then another one, which also, I suppose, maybe sounds a bit, is also a bit sad, is I had a rugby knee injury that first happened at the age of 14 and then sort of kept reoccurring until a point where I had to stop playing rugby around the age of 18.
By the way, I love already in having researched you, I know 2 of your great loves, as you've implied already, are India and rugby. And extraordinary that you've managed to combine both in the feature film you've been in. Extraordinary.
Yes.
Also, I love the fact that your experience of your parents breaking up is just a sort of pervasive feeling. Which stretches out many years. Again, that's incredibly relatable.
And then I've got probably, well, a more upbeat one, maybe more relevant to people knowing me as an actor. I've got the thrill of making an audience laugh and cry. Probably first tasted that maybe around 10 years old and then, you know, through acting and stuff I would do at school and, you know, my peer group that, you know, through sort of little comedy groups and stuff at school and that sort of thing. I remember something kind of going wrong in a play. I was in probably a Shakespeare play at school and accidentally broke one of these cups that had been made in the pottery place or something like that. And the whole place erupted because it had accidentally happened. And then I tried to do the same thing again the next night, but it didn't work quite like that.
I love that as well. The accidents are where the magic often happen. Fantastic. Mm.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And then I've got the other thing that shaped me, I would say, is rebalancing my life and having a family. Which is, well, like I mentioned in the pre-chat, I've got a 7 and 5 year old boy, been married to Celia for 8 years. And yeah, I had a more turbulent experience in life before, I guess, this rebalancing.
Lovely. And just say a bit more about rebalancing.
Well, I suppose I was maybe a bit troubled. I kept breaking relationships, be them personal or professional ones. I had about 9 different agents in the course of about 10, 15 years, and probably a similar amount of girlfriends that, you know, I would sort of get into thing. And I also sort of discovered that I was an addictive personality, and that I was not able to do things in moderation. And so I guess there's a recovery in there from, you know, addiction, which has also led to, yeah, a rebalancing, if that makes sense.
It completely does. And it makes sense of the actor's sort of the conflict and the tension of you've got to put your whole self in, a bit like the human hokey-cokey. So being obsessive can be helpful because it keeps you tenacious, I'm imagining. There's a sort of a yin and a yang one can interpret that. There's good sides and bad sides to being obsessive and you know, fully committed.
Or yes, yes. Yeah, I'm nervous of the extremes in life these days, the extreme highs and the extreme lows that come with them. I prefer a middle band.
Yes, the middle band, lovely. Great stuff. I'm thinking about bipolarity in there, but I'm not trying to go anywhere, but that sounds like the sort of highs and the lows. So it's great that you found a middle band.
And
it sounds like Celia has helped normalise that, shall we say.
Yes.
And having a family, absolutely. In great foliage shaking so far. I think we're over back to you. You're still in the canopy of your tree, and we're looking at 3 things that inspire you now.
All right, 3 things that inspire me. people doing things they're passionate about. Any art form that moves me or makes me laugh or cry. And obviously that can be, you know, music, stand-up comedy, theatre, film. Can't think what other art forms. Art, I suppose. And I've got people protesting for things they believe in, standing up for their values.
Lovely. And in standing up for values, do you want to talk about Jungle Crows? Because that really has combined a lot of your passions.
Well, yeah, I can talk about Jungle Crows. I guess I've touched on the fact I had this a knee injury when I was a teenager, which and rugby, I suppose, was my kind of first love, maybe. And this injury sort of essentially prevented me playing, you know, continuing with rugby. And I then went to I then traveled after I left school and went to India. And I guess saw life through from a different perspective. And it was while I was there, I was learning speeches to get into drama school. And then I, after that experience, came back and got into drama school. And then I suppose for whatever it was, 25 years later, to be invited to be in a Bollywood film about rugby, felt, yeah, like pretty special. And I had the opportunity to, I was playing a real life person in the film, a guy called Paul Walsh, who runs a organization or a charity in Kolkata in India, which is using rugby, you know, as a way of kind of social cohesion, but giving young people a focus and, you know, all the benefits that can come with team sport and discipline and being a part of something. So it's changing lives, really. And he had brought a team over. This is the true story. He brought a team over to England to be part of a international tour aid competition, and the side from India ended up winning. And that's, anyone who knows anything about rugby would know the sort of physiology of a side from India playing against some, you know, a team from South Africa or whatever. So, and it's that underdog feel-good story that has been turned into a movie. And I played Paul Walsh, and I became friends with him. He was on set and he was helping a lot of his kids that are part of his operation in Kolkata were in the film.
Yeah.
Went to visit where he was doing it in Kolkata, and have gone on to be an ambassador for his work in the UK. We've managed to partner them with Bristol Bears to help raise the profile of their work. And yeah, we've got a charity screening in Earl's Court on September the 4th, which anyone's welcome to. Family friendly.
And presumably you filmed this before the pandemic. How old
Yes,
was the film?
Filmed it before the pandemic. In fact, we had the premiere in Llanelli, because a lot of the UK filming was in Wales, and Wales love their rugby. We had the premiere in Llanelli on this. I remember coming back and seeing all these people from the Cheltenham races or whatever, and it was just at the time that, you know, everyone's going, why are they, you know, there's COVID, why is everyone allowing the Cheltenham races to happen anyway? So the whole world closed down almost immediately after our premiere. So
you've got a bit of a second wind going on now then. They're re-premiering it post-pandemic by the look of it.
Yes, exactly.
Also, rugby is still pulling you towards your future. I know that you've got a tour coming up in 2023, which is your ultimate rugby quiz, please.
Yeah, well, I suppose the experience of doing this rugby film, and also in the pandemic, I was sort of trying to, you know, pivot and make a living. All the theatres were shut, and
yes.
I got a job entertaining, well, helping a company sell a thing called RefLink at Twickenham. They is what people listen to the ref while they're watching games. And so I turned up with a microphone and a PA system and did some well-known characters in rugby and had a bit of fun with it. And it went down well, and it made me think that there's a rugby-specific entertainment show just for that audience. And that's what I've tried to create. I thought people wouldn't want to go to a theatre before or after a big game. So I thought I'd wrap it around a quiz and take it to rugby clubs and kind of corporate events and stuff. But I do some of my favourite bits of commentary from, you know, back to the 70s. I do a Jim Telfer's famous Everest speech on the Lions tour, and lots of other stuff. And I've got this great company, H&HB, who do rugby events, who are taking it on. So they'll be organising it.
Lovely. And who was the impression of, and maybe you can do that at the end, it was the Everest reference. Who was it?
That was Jim Telfer. Uh-huh. But there's Cliff Morgan in there. There's Bill McLaren in there. Rassie Erasmus, a South African coach. And yeah, a few other bits and pieces.
And by the way, you were on my radar during the pandemic as well, because similarly, out of adversity comes often great creativity. You did some really impressive pivot stuff to be agile, and even the fact that you're doing the BS3 Santa, a doorstep Santa, was a very impressive thing, a way of getting something going when there was nothing happening during the pandemic.
Well, a lot of credit goes to Celia, my wife, and her friend Georgia. They were in a playground with our kids chatting about probably how to get me out of the house, I suspect. And Georgia came up with this idea, well, why don't you, you know, do a Christmas show and take it to people's doorsteps, which I was horrified at the idea of, but it soon became better to just have something to be doing than nothing. And it turned out, well, we're now in our third year. We're doing a run of the show at the Tobacco Factory. Got all sorts of bookings around the country, and
from doorstep to mainstream. That's very impressive. And I've interviewed already your chief elf, Lucy Duck, by the way.
Yes.
Small old world, but I wouldn't want to hoover it. Also, we don't just want to talk about everything you're up to, but there's Date Night as well. And Leah Fletcher is in Instant Wit, the comedy improvisation company that I run. So
it's a
small world, wouldn't want to hoover it. So yes, there's lots to research in what you're up to. It's very, very impressive. And so now I think we're up to two things that never fail to grab your attention. This is the squirrels in the tree moment.
Squirrels in the tree. Well, I've said how well other people are doing. which would be under a jealousy bracket, I suspect.
Yes.
I took a pause from social media while we were on our family holiday, and I sort of came back to it because, you know, it's how I let people know what I'm up to and stuff. And it did help me realize I can get a bit squirreled by, look what they're doing. That sort of thing. I guess it's human nature, isn't it?
Well, we all know the adage, comparison is the thief of happiness. It's absolutely true. And in fact, I struggle similarly, very relatively. And I tried very, very hard to have a social media break during my holiday as well. But everything I'm up to is about, you know, promoting stuff.
Yes.
Like with you as well.
Yeah, yeah. And then my other big distraction, I would say, is Bristol Bears or England rugby games. As my family would know, I've got a season ticket holder at Bristol Bears, but I've tried to sort of get it past the Bat family by, I've got the boys one as well. So the idea is that I will take them for a kind of day out and they'll enjoy it too. And they've come along a fair few times and really enjoy it. But a lot of their games are on a Friday night, like 7:45 kickoff, which is not that, so I have to go by myself for those.
But that's coming. That's coming.
Yeah,
that's I've always been obsessed with ping pong, and Stan, luckily for me, has picked up a ping pong bat and loves it.
I'd like a game of ping pong. I like a bit of ping pong.
Well, now you're saying it, you will be, Stuart Wright, and I'm saying it live. You're going to be my ping pong bitch because I'm quite good.
Well, maybe I'm quite good, Chris.
I like that. Bring it on. Fantastic.
Yeah, let's get it on. Is it outside? Have you got an indoor venue? Because the outside is too much luck involved.
I'm good indoors and outdoors, but yeah, let's go indoors sometime and bring it on, and we'll report back on the fact you were in fact my ping pong bitch by the end of it. The Laughter Lab comedy improvisational thing I do in France once a year, there is a ping pong annex, and it's almost a given that everyone coming thinks they're good, but or maybe they don't, but they're always going to be my ping pong bitch by the end of it. I've not failed so far.
Well, this is, you are setting yourself up, Mr. Grimes.
Yes, Mr. Wright. And can I just ask, in another parallel universe, would you have loved to have been a professional rugby player? Was that really what you wanted?
Well, I was very passionate about rugby and got to an England under 18 trial, and a bunch of the people I played with at that level went on to play for England or the British Lions. And it was just at the time that it became professional. I mean, it's probably quite convenient that I had this injury, and we'll never know whether or not I would have done. And I can sort of live with the idea that I had, a great international career kind of ruined.
I could have been a coach.
Exactly. But I think, the reality is, you know, even people who get to the under 18 level, it's only a bit like drama school, you know.
Yes.
30 people get into drama school, and, you know, how many are doing it 25 years later?
And by the way, a guest just 2 weeks ago in the podcast is the mother of a 6'8" man giant who's called Alex Coles, who's a Northampton Breakthrough Player of the Year. You know who he is in the world of rugby?
I don't know who he is yet, but I do now.
Alex Coles, a name or a man giant to watch. He's so tall, he's like a meeting point at festivals and all that stuff. I think we've covered your two squirrels.
Oh, yes.
And by the way, I love the fact that rugby's ever present, despite the fact, you know.
I know. Celia was like, God, rugby is your thing, isn't it? It's your biggest passion. It's blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't know. Now it's just something I enjoy. I kind of like the, you know, it's the world's pretty kind of scary and complicated, and it all happens. There's rules, there's white lines,
yeah.
It's 40 minutes each way. It's great packaged entertainment.
Yes, as indeed are you, sir. So now we're on to a quirky or unusual fact about you, Stuart, right? We couldn't possibly know until you tell us.
Yes, now this was the one bit that has slipped through my my homework net. Well, I suppose the England under 18 trial might have worked for that.
Yes.
Are you happy with that? Even though I've already
said it. Absolutely. No, there's no pressure. That's lovely.
Okay.
You've been full of wonderful facts as you've been going through. So it's just the idea of just putting a flag in the sand, and that's
yes.
your thing that we couldn't know until you've just told us. Thank you. Okay. So we've shaken your tree. Huzzah. Now we stay in the clearing energetically, which is still atop your bus to Kathmandu in India. And now we're going to talk about alchemy and gold in the clearing. Alchemy and gold, what are you here to reveal to the world? What are you absolutely happiest doing?
Oh, what am I happiest doing? Again, my homework, right.
Well, how did you interpret the alchemy and gold stuff, or did you not remember to think about that?
No, I've got written down here best piece of advice. But that's
coming. That's coming. Okay. That's in the cake, dear.
I can answer that. I would say in my rebalanced life that I've sort of hinted at, my the ability to have a committed, stable home life alongside doing what I enjoy doing with acting and performing. I think being able to marry those two things is my happy place.
I love that. Family as your anchor is what I heard reading between the lines there. On the good ship.
Yeah, well, I mean, before I had a family, I'd probably, you know, I was probably saddest when I wasn't working. And now I'm sad I'm off to work in a way. You know, so
that's the perfect perfect resolution to that quandary. your family in the good. I was just going on a bit of a sort of seafaring analogy. There's a nice thing, which is when all the ships are in the harbour, everyone's a good sailor. But when the good ship Stuart Wright, you know, chops off into the seas, your family are always your anchor, which is lovely. Keep an even keel, Mr. Christian. All that sort of stuff.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, now we're going to award you with a cake, which is where the bit of advice is coming in.
Oh,
so
yes.
Rather than just splotching a cake in your face, this is a multi-layered cake whereby you get to put a cherry on the cake, which is stuff like a favourite inspirational quote that's always given you succour and pulled you towards your future. Mm. What's the best, as you've said, piece of advice you've ever been given? Another really nice thing is you can go there if you want to, and it can be what help notes or advice might you proffer to a younger version of Stuart.
Oh, yes.
And then finally, as you're going to be playing Richard Burbage in the Lord Chamberlain Company of William Shakespeare in The Upstart Crow, we'll talk about legacy, borrowing from the All the World's a Stage and All the Men and Women Merely Players, the Jake Queen speech. We'll talk about legacy and how, when all is said and done, Stuart Wright, actor, you would most like to be remembered. So that's where we're headed. So first of all, do you like cake, Stuart Wright?
I don't actually eat cake. But there are some cakes I do eat. I don't eat sugar.
Okay.
So cake's not massively my thing, but there are...
Is that just a lifestyle choice? I know it's healthy not to eat sugar, or is that...
Just a lifestyle choice, yeah.
Yeah. We all know cut out the sugar and everything will fall off in a good way. Lovely. So sorry, you don't like it. So can I give you something savoury instead then as your metaphorical cake?
You could give me some Buja Buja ice cream if you like.
Lovely. Buja ice cream.
Am I going to become their poster boy? No.
Why not? Buja. For those of us that don't know what Buja Buja ice cream is.
Sugar-free ice cream. Delicious.
Buja Buja. Lovely. It's different from the ice cream they give out to your dog for free, isn't it? Obviously, that's not Buja.
I think so.
That's Puja Anyway, that's me going down a rabbit hole there. Who knows? So, yeah, so sugar-free ice cream, it's yours. Now you get to put a cherry on your ice cream. So what would you like to tell us?
Best piece of advice, I would say, is take small, achievable steps. Keep it simple and live life one day at a time.
Boom. Next.
Okay. The advice to my younger self, I've said I'd just like to give him a hug, really, because he wouldn't listen to any advice.
Lovely. So you're going to hug him atop the bus because he seems quite happy atop the bus.
I'd catch him a bit earlier in his life, probably. Just give him a hug. And, he's a bit of a whirlwind. He was heading, there was no stopping him, really. He was going to clatter about banging into things. But I would just give him a hug, let him know there was someone who knew what he was going through or something.
And by the way, what I love is your sort of puck-like spriteness in your energy. When I was first riffing on Mr. Wright is in the clearing, I was thinking, you do think a right, I am that very wonder of the night. I was just going on a bit of a puck rabbit hole, even though you may more stereotypically play bottom in terms of cast.
Yeah, I'm more your bottom, but you could be my puck.
Well, that's kind of you to say. Yes, I'd be very happy to be your puck. So, sorry, I've gone down a rabbit hole. I'm now back out. So back to you.
So then I'm on to favourite inspirational quote.
Yes, please. Or quotes if you've got.
I've got, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Just say that again because it's delicious.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
What she just said, that was awesome. Lovely.
I suppose there's a number of times in life where if I'm banging my head against a wall and I can realise, well, hang on, I can't change this. It's quite a relief to realize I can't change it. But then there are sometimes you're banging against the wall and you go, well, hang on, well, maybe there's a window. So maybe I can get in the window, something like that.
Love that. In the realms of storytelling, I have heard somebody else couch the same thing in a way of when shit happens, it's just called plot twist. In the narrative, plot twist, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? So I love that. Thank you for that lovely quote. And I deliberately got you to reincorporate it because it's very, very rich and textured indeed, what you just said. Lovely. Anything else you want to say before I ramp you up to the Shakespeare?
I don't think so. What, plug my stuff, that kind of thing?
No, that's coming. Oh, that's coming. Just checking that I hadn't missed anything out and ringing out.
No, I think we're good. I think we're good on that. That's great.
Okay, then. So Richard Burbage, Lord Chamberlain's company, you're uniquely placed to give us a sort of Shakespearean insight. So over to you for your jakequeez, dear. You don't have to do the speech, obviously, but this is inspired by All the World's a Stage and All the Men and Women Merely Players. Each man and in their time has 7 entrances. La, 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 de, blah. I might have killed it there. But how would you most like to be remembered? This is about legacy now, Stuart Wright.
This feels a bit... it feels a little bit eggy to sort of try and think about that. I suppose I try and live a life one day at a time, so I would try not to be concerned about that. But having been asked the question, I have answered it. I'd like to be remembered as a great dad, a good husband, a loyal friend, and a master of comic tragedy.
Boom. And by the way, that's lovely. It is the idea of existentially the epitaph upon the gravestone, if I may, says all of that lovely stuff. And what you wish for will come true, I don't doubt. I love that. That was really beautiful. Okay, where can we find out more about Stuart Wright on the old hinterweb, please?
Well, Stuart Wright has got himself a website called www.stuartwright.net. I don't spell Stuart with the UA. I spell it the other way, S-T-E-W-A-R-T. So I've got a website because of all these projects that I generate myself, my own shows. I think there's four at the moment at various stages of development. There's this Christmas show, which is imminent. There's Date Night, which is being remade. There's this Ultimate Rugby Quiz, which is for your rugby clubs or rugby corporate events and that kind of thing. And I'm making a summer show with the fantastic Pins and Needles. We're in the applying for funding process and hoping it'll be ready for the Windmill Hill City Farm next summer. And then my other kind of acting stuff, I probably tweet about that at Stuart Wright 74. So you'll know when that kind of stuff's coming out.
And is that your birth year? Is that why you've called it at Stuart Wright 74? Or there was
it is, yeah, 74, yeah, 48 now.
Looking good, Tiger, as they say. And by the way, we have the Central School of Screech and Trauma in common.
Oh, well. Yes.
Because I did the Chris. Teaching degree there, 1982 to 86. And I know that you then trained as an actor. I was there before I went to the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School. But I remember thinking, oh, blimey, we have that.
So did you do 3 years at Central and then do 3 years at Bristol?
No, I guess he was a bit thirsty for it. I did 4 years of a teaching degree and then I did the postgraduate at the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School.
Yeah. Well, Central just didn't quite make it onto my shaping things that shape me. But it was a big plot twist, to use your phrase, to go from, you know, being interested in acting and interested in rugby and all that to be at drama school, putting on tights and pretending to be a lemur or whatever it was we were doing.
I like that. Putting on tights and pretending to be a lemur. That is the curriculum right there. I remember
it is. Yeah, pretty much.
I played a Nile crocodile.
There you go.
But the chief quality was stillness.
Yeah. And then
fucking vicious if you get too close. All of that. Mm. Yes. So we have that in common too. That's all good. As this has been your moment in the sunshine here in the Good Listening To show, Stuart Wright, is there anything else you'd like to say?
There isn't, apart from well done, Chris, coming up with a great concept for a podcast. Thanks very much for having me on. I look forward to this table tennis. I'm already a bit nervous.
Ooh, I'm glad. I've bigged
myself up. But it's going to be fun. But I think we might have to, maybe we'll start with outdoors and we can blame the wind and then we can move it indoors if we need to.
So we've got it on record. You're too chicken to start indoors. You're going to blow in from outdoors.
Well, I just think it's more of a deal to go and like hire a hall or find somewhere that's got table tennis indoors to turn up to. We could turn up on a non-windy day.
Well, we could turn it into a theatre performance, actually. The big Stuart Wright, Chris Grimes ping pong off.
Yeah.
Lovely. That's just another show idea for us both. That's lovely. So, yeah. Wonderful. Thank you so much. What was your experience of having been here? How was that for you, dear?
Well, it's quite emotional, quite intense for some of those questions. If they were put to anyone, they sort of stir you up a bit, make you think in ways that you probably wouldn't be normally. So that's interesting.
Lovely. And by the way, the exciting news is I'm talking to both the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School and the Central School of Speech and Drama alumni in order to talk about lending the structure of the podcast to help amplify the school and also get me some ears on seats as well. Hurrah.
Nice.
Brilliant. Listen, a real pleasure and a delight. And I sincerely look forward to seeing you again by the park. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to me, Chris Grimes. This has been the Good Listening To show. But most importantly, this has been Stuart Wright having his delicious moment in the sunshine. So anything else you'd like to say?
No!
And good night. You've been listening to the Good Listening To show here on UK Health Radio with me, Chris Grimes. Oh, it's my son.
If you've enjoyed the show, then please do tune in next week to listen to more stories from The Clearing.
If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, then please do so. There's also a dedicated Facebook group for the show too. You can contact me about the programme, or if you'd be interested in experiencing some personal impact coaching with me, care of my Level Up Your Impact programme, that's chris@secondcurve.uk. On Twitter and Instagram, it's
@thatchrisgrimes.
So until next time, from me, Chris Grimes, from UK Health Radio, and from Stan,
to your good health.
Goodbye. slight bit of comedy in the joys of podcasting, which are fatally flawed because there are two things, Stuart, you know this because you've got your own podcast. Apparently the fatal flaw with all podcasting is that it's white males talking to white males. Welcome to our demographic. And then the other thing is, as soon as you start recording or want to record of all the days and all the year, you get somebody doing that. Oh, come on. Whoa. Stick it in there. All good. So we're going to be competing against that. And if you want to go away now, I don't enjoy listening to concrete being sawn, but we'll do our best. Stuart and I had an exchange. We said we could ask them to stop for a minute. And as we know, the workmen of the land do enjoy stopping their work in order to listen to two Ponzi actors for an hour. Joy to the world. Anyway, here we go. But even, you know, there's been a podcast where a seagull took the most gargantuan post-Atlantic shite on my Velux window. I mean, I think it's quite good to go with the comedy of what's happening. So if you're up for that, I'll be up for that too.
Okay, come on.
Piece of cake.
Let's do this.